Good morning. It is a great joy to see all of you here this morning. How privileged and blessed we are that the house of God is open, that we can gather with God's people, that we have in common He who is the resurrection and the life. What a joy to be with us. That He was so kind, so merciful, so redeeming to be among us. This morning, we're going to be concentrating on the concepts of light and darkness. And as a little kind of a preview of what is coming, I thought I would have this little passage of comfort in poetic form that I would share with you. Bless us, Lord, this Christmas with quietness of mind. Teach us to be patient and always seek your mind. Show us that in quietness we can feel your presence near, filling all of us with joy and peace throughout the coming year. Father in heaven, as we are here this morning, may each of us have the joy, security, the peace that only God can give in a world of darkness. And may the light of Christ fill every room and corner of our heart and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from the Gospel according to John. John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Light is a major motif that runs through society and every civilization. Among all people. But it is also in the Bible. Why is the motif of light in the Bible so different? Because the source of that life and the source of that light is not humanistic or man-made. It is a light that comes down from the eternal Heavenly Father and shines not only in the world, but in the individual hearts of all of those who believe. And I hope this morning that as we think of light, we think of how God is one who is shining light among us and among all Christians. Let us think of worldwide. Let us think of how God is giving peace to people who are living in very difficult circumstances. And as we think of light, light is always connected with joy, blessings, and life. Where light shines and penetrates, God's presence is surely there. It teaches us that a sovereign God is in control, and the Holy Spirit is ever with us. Where there is darkness, God's judgment follows, and we see this, for example, in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible always associates darkness with sorrow and adversity and death as a result of the fall. That contrast between the light of Christ and the darkness of this world is very evident already right in the early Bible passages of the birth of Christ. This morning I looked at the Jameson family, and I see these beautiful little children. I come and hug every one of them. Now, can you imagine how all of us would be weeping if we had such an insecure madman in the White House that he gave a decree to kill all the boy babies 2 years old and younger? I can't even imagine what that would be like. But that's exactly what we have in the Bible. Herod set a trap. Tell me where this baby is born. And when he realized he had been tricked, he gave a command to kill all the boy babies, 2 years old and younger. The difference between a man on the throne who is filled with darkness and the light of the gospel of Christ. Mary had supreme confidence in that light. Be it unto me according to your word. She knew that God would take care of her. And as we think of light, it already started way back at the dawn of creation, where the Bible says, "Let there be light," and there was light. And think of the birth of Christ many years later. The multitude of the angelic host saying, "Glory to God in the highest." Then think of those lowly shepherds praising God for all they had seen and heard. And later on, sometime later, when the wise men visited Jesus, there was great joy. They followed the light. Think of that symbolically in your life. Follow the light. Am I willing to follow the light wherever that may lead? And when they came to where the light was, what did they do? They fell down and worshiped the Christ child. What a wonderful message that is for me this morning, for you this morning, for your relatives, for all of us. And then the text says, and this is profound, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness cannot overcome it. It cannot extinguish it. And I'm not going to lay upon you this morning all the different nuances of what it means to put the light out or extinguish it. But there are many different nuances of this, and they all find their fulfillment in Christ. A team of Christians went into Afghanistan after the U.S. withdrawal, and the surge of the Taliban, what a sad story, we all know it. And as these Christians were going in to give assistance to Christians in hiding, they perceived that they were followed by the Taliban and the Taliban was closing in on them. And so in their haste and in their fear, they took shelter. And unbeknown to them, they knocked on the door of a Taliban cleric and scholar. These are his words, and I quote directly. At midnight, six people came to my home asking for shelter from the Taliban. I fed them and gave them a place to sleep. And then I reflected, who are these visitors? I looked through their bags and found a holy book. And I began to read it. It was not the Quran. It spoke of Isa, Jesus. I looked on their phone and found a movie about Jesus. the glory of the Lord came over me. I saw the light, and I felt its power. The cleric was 38 years old, and he memorized much of the Quran. But the Quran never stimulated his mind or stirred his souls. And the six visitors were very fearful. And the cleric then said to them, "Your Jesus came into my heart and my soul. These six men who are with me knew Jesus very well and have helped me to become a holy man for Jesus. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot destroy it, it cannot distinguish it, it cannot overcome it." Let's make this personal. Can any of you raise your hands with me and say, "When I was a young boy, it was really a drag for me to go to church"? Ah, I see a couple hands. Can any of you say, "When I went to Sunday school, I closed my ears and didn't even listen to what the teacher was saying"? But then a moment came in your life. It is so personal that maybe most of us don't even like to share it. And the glory of God entered the room or our presence. We saw the light and felt the power. Let's make this meditation personal this morning. Just reflect for a moment on the extreme prejudice, the extreme shunning, the banning of the Bible, the persecution, active or passive, the secular humanism in every form of darkness all around it, which is trying to extinguish the light, not only in U.S. society, but all around the world. I'm thinking this morning alone of just one thing. When I read, if the reports are true or not true, I cannot prove, of all the illicit drugs coming across the border, the drug cartels making $1 billion per day. Darkness is invading the United States of America. Don't we need the light of Jesus to even have hope? I do. And then here we are, a little congregation called Sierra View PCA, and we sing, "O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see the light. The hopes and fears of all the years are seen in thee tonight." In most of the congregations I have served, we had evening worship services. And on Christmas Eve, all the lights of the congregation where we were sitting would go out, and we would light the candle of Christ, and we would sing together, The hopes and fears of all the years are seen in thee tonight. Doesn't it do something to you? Doesn't it just kind of shake you on the inside and say, in this world of darkness, in word and in deed, I want to share the light of Christ to people who are depressed, to people who have trusted in themselves for many years, but all of a sudden are confronting something that they know they have no control of? There is Jesus, the light of the world. And then we sing of that wonderful scene in the Bible from which we sing, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in Christ. What is my task on earth? To glorify Christ and enjoy Him forever. So now quickly, I want to share with you that this light of the gospel was really not new in the coming of Jesus. There is what scholars call the pre-incarnate light, the seed of the woman in the book of Genesis will crush the head of the serpent. Profound statement. The messianic psalms, and we could name them. Some scholars say 7, some say 11. There's a number of them. I have a book that I'm aware of that says that every one of the 150 psalms point to Christ. I'm not so sure of that, but maybe it's true. Then I think of the Hebrew sacrificial system throughout the Old Testament, all pointing to Jesus, the light of the world. And then I think of the explicit prophecies, Isaiah and Micah and Jeremiah and so forth. The pre-incarnate light. And then at times I think of the fact that that light was such a small flicker that it almost seemed like it was going out. I think, for example, of the days of Noah. Think of the time when Ahab and Jezebel were on the throne and did everything they could to kill every one of the prophets. And the prophets hid in caves and scattered throughout the land. But the light was not blown out. The light continued. And then I think of the incarnate light, the light that came in the person of Jesus Christ. Behold, to you is born in the city of David the Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Miracle after miracle after miracle. The visit of the shepherds, the angels singing glory to God in the highest, the visit of the Magi. What a visible prophecy to everyone, that the light of the gospel would not be limited to the Hebrew people. It would go throughout the entire world. And then I think of that sacrificial, bloody, despised, redemptive cross of Jesus Christ. A dark day in history, in which the evil tried to extinguish the light. But in the divine plan of God, it was a day of glorious victory. And then the very disciples, the followers of Jesus, when they came to the empty tomb, could not believe it. It took a while for the light to dawn upon them what God was doing. And now again, here we are this morning in this building. Are we believing in the assured promise that Jesus has gone to prepare a home for us, for each one of us? And when we think of light and darkness, we need to think of the reigning and risen light. There is Jesus this morning at the right hand of God with all rule and a power and authority at his right hand. And in the book of Revelation, we have that tremendous vision that is given to John on the island of Patmos as he thinks of the various congregations in Asia Minor who are under persecution or the threat of persecution. And he says to them, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And he will rule forever, King of kings and Lord of lords." Here we are this morning. I hear people my age saying, and maybe they've always said it, "I'm really concerned for my children and grandchildren." And yet the promise is here that God will never leave or forsake his own. And that people of every nation and race and tongue will be like that Taliban cleric and scholar. "I read your holy book. And the Holy Spirit who is spoken of in that holy book has shed his light upon me. And I'm now going to follow Jesus." What does that ask of each one of us this morning, my friends? It asks us not only to seek the light, but when we get on our knees and confess everything to Jesus, that light will shine in. And now I am called upon to reflect the light. Am I reflecting that light? And I have a little sad caveat to put in here. Are you distressed sometimes that churches who call themselves Christian are nothing more than humanistic ministries that are such a misrepresentative of Christianity? They represent themselves as light, but in reality they are darkness. But here's the glorious thing that we have before us this morning: that the light does shine in the darkness, and darkness will always be exposed by the light. And the evil one cannot, shall not, and will not overcome the person of Jesus, for he is the light of the world. Are you going to leave this house this morning with confidence? Are you going to leave with conviction? Are you going to leave this house of God knowing that the cause of Christ cannot fail, and therefore his people cannot fail? The slain Lamb of God is King of kings and Lord of lords forever and ever and ever. The body they may kill, God's word remains forever, and he is the victor. When I was doing postgraduate work in the Netherlands, a well-known systematic professor was A.A. Van Ruler. And he lectured, can you think of it, for 5 years on one theme only. And that was the victory of Jesus Christ. That was not my major. But in the Netherlands, once you're a student, you can go to any professor and listen to him. And I listened to him again and again, Christ the Victor. What a theme for us to carry with us. Jesus Christ, the light of the world. It cannot, shall not, and will not ever be blown out. For he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings forever and ever. Amen.